Take your Bibles, if you will, please, and turn to Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. Once you find Philippians chapter 2, I'd like for you to find verse number 18. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 18. This morning I told you the title of the sermon this evening. It's this: I shall see how it will go with me. Philippians chapter 2, verse 18. Stand with me if you would, please. Philippians chapter 2, I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. Philippians 2:18, it says, "For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me." Right there at the end of verse number 23, that's the title of our sermon tonight, and it is the basic thought of the sermon. Paul said, "So soon as I shall see how it will go with me." And let's pray. Father, bless us tonight. This service is unique to itself. We heard preaching this morning, but that's past. The truth is still true. But tonight, you in eternity planned for us to have a service. You planned for a sermon to be preached. You planned that I would preach that sermon. You planned that these people would be here. Well, we're here. May we not miss the purpose for this service in our own personal lives. Use the sermon tonight to challenge, change, and encourage us all, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll have a seat there, what I'm going to talk to you tonight, it's a topic that, if not handled well by you and I, it steals our confidence and our security. People, our nation has been in turmoil for really not just during this election process. We've been in turmoil for some years. We ask ourselves, what's the future of our country? And then if you go to a church that stands for something and you see how difficult the liberal society is becoming on conservative Christianity, you ask yourself, what's the future for the church? What's the future for the institution of marriage? What's the future of our economy? I want to help you a little bit with those concerns. The Apostle Paul is at the time of the writing that we just read from Philippians. He is a prisoner in Rome. He is sending a letter to a group of people in the Philippian church. He's expressing his interest and his love and his concern for the people in Philippi. If we would have read Philippians 2:1, he tells them that he loves them. Then in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, he reminds them of Jesus and all that Jesus stood for. Then, in Philippians 2:14, he tells them that they need to be unified for the cause of Christ. He tells them in Philippians 2:19, he said, "Now I'm going to send to you Timothy to help you and to meet your spiritual needs." Then, in verse 23, I don't think in casual reading you would pick up on this, but my mind and my eyes gravitated toward it when I was reading this passage of Scripture. In verse 23, remember, now Paul is in prison in Rome for standing for God, and he's trying to encourage everyone he's writing to, and then you see a little touch of his humanity come out. And he says this in verse 23, "Him therefore I hope to send presently," speaking of sending them Timothy. Then he uses these words, "so soon as I shall see how it will go with me." You say, what is he saying exactly? I think if I understand it right, he's saying, "I want to send you Timothy because I'm not real sure what the future holds for me." You say, well, why would he say that? Well, they put people to death back then for their stand for Christ. And Paul was trying to encourage some people at a church that he had helped to start and strengthened. And he said, "I'm going to send Timothy to you to help keep you encouraged." And he said, "because I'm just not real sure what my future holds. Isn't it a good thing that I think, now personally, I think the best Christian in the Old Testament was Moses. I think the best Christian in the New Testament was Paul outside of Jesus Christ. It encouraged me when I heard the most powerful Christian in the entire New Testament say, I'm a little shaky about the future. I'm just a little shaky about it. I think Paul was being human, and God allowed him to put these words down. So soon as I shall see how it will go with me. I'm not real sure what the future holds, he said. He was concerned about his tomorrow. You know, folks, we're human. We go through life, and we have our concerns. We ask ourselves things like, what is the future of our country? What's the future of the church? What's the future of... And I believe there's an out-and-out attack on the institution of the family. I really, really believe that in every angle. They're attacking the family and marriage. And what's the future of our economy? Well, I just want to take a little while tonight, about 2 hours, and talk to you about this concern that we have as human beings about our future. Now, let me say first of all, most of our future we don't know. At least humanly speaking, down here, the Bible says in James 4:14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. We don't know so many things. Look, we don't know what the future holds in regard to our possessions. You know, the car that you worship today may be in the junk pile at the end of next week. You may own your current home, or the bank may own your current home. Your favorite clothes in the future, they may fit you or they may not. Your retirement program may burst at the seams, or it may be your clothes. You just don't know. So in regard to our possessions, that's part of the future that's kind of hard to know. We don't know in regard to our families what will happen in our families. We don't know. Will mom and dad, some of you have some parents that are getting up there in age. I was talking to one of our fine members, and they said, you know, my dad, he's not well, and he's getting up in age. We don't know. We don't know. How long will mom and dad, how long will grandma and grandpa live? We don't know that. When will my children marry? Who will they marry? We don't know that. Some of you, your boys are ugly enough, they probably never will get married. Unless they can find a blind girl. But then you have to deal with the sense of smell. And that could create another hindrance. You know, you just don't know. We can't be sure about a lot of things with our families, with our possessions. You don't know the future in regard to your health. You know that the very healthy may become the very ill. And let this be an encouragement to you. The very ill may become the very healthy. Will you be physically strong? Will you be cured? Will you be found to have something that you never dreamed that you could possibly contract as a disease? I don't know. Those parts of the future are a little bit scary, and they cause us to wonder. You don't know the future in regard to your burdens. Will your burdens change? There's some of you face a burden right now. And a part of you would say, it seems like I will carry this burden for the rest of my life. I've known people that thought they would carry a particular burden the rest of their life, and suddenly God made it go away. And they were burdenless in regard to that particular burden. Will a heartache come that you didn't expect? Will a burden come, or will a blessing come? I don't know. How big will your burden be? Will it get worse? Will it get better? That's kind of hard to know. And so, our future, it gets to us a little bit. Like Paul, he said, I need to see how things are going to go for me. He was thinking about his future. We don't know how the future is going to turn out in regard to our joys in life. Have you ever heard the terminology, will my ship come in? And that's talking about the ship coming into dock that has all the supplies needed and the riches in life. Hey, will your ship come in, or will your ship sink? I don't know. Will your dreams come true, or will they turn into nightmares? I don't know. Some here, you may find that your future will be super happy, or maybe it'll be super sad. I don't know. The future's a little bit scary. Now, what about the length of your life? What does the future hold? There's some of you young people, you think you're going to live forever. You have no concept of the fact that people grow old and life passes. And the older you get, the more that becomes obvious to you. We don't know. Do we have 10 years to live? Do we have 8 years to live? Do we have 6 years to live or 5 years to live? Do we have a week? We don't know that. We don't know that. Or maybe you say, well, Pastor, I'd be shocked with the way things are going with my health that I'll live to 70. You might be the one that lives to 100. We don't know that. We don't have an assurance of that part of the future. We at all say, well, how will we die? You ever think about how you'll die? Will you die in your sleep? Mrs. Owens is going too soon if she does not stop snoring at the rate that she does. She's not here tonight. I feel pretty much at liberty. And I know you all won't tell her, right? Yeah, thanks. Will you die of old age? Will it be painful when you die? Will you die fishing? Will you die in your home or at ease? Will it be an accident? Will somebody hurt you? I don't know. There's so many parts of our future that we don't know. And sometimes when you begin to think of tomorrow, it becomes unsettling. It becomes scary. Now, may I say secondly, there's some reasons why God may choose to keep us from knowing the future. Why don't we know the future? Why is it that we can't look out and see what's coming? Well, 1 John 3:20 says, "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and He knoweth all things." You got to understand something. There is somebody that knows the future. And that's the God that loves you. And if He has chosen for you not to know the future, God knows best. He knows what He's doing. So, what are some of the reasons why we don't know the future? Well, let me start out by telling you that's because that's how God wanted it. God has chosen that you and I are not predictors of the future. And you say, well, I went to a seance and they told me about my future. Yeah, your future is they're going to use your identity when you gave them your credit card at the seance business and they're going to drain your funds from your account. That's what they're going to do. No, you don't know the future. But why? Why did God allow that? I think that's just what God wanted. He wanted to be the one who would see the future. He better deals with the future. He knows how to handle the future. He knows what's right about the future. Remember, folks, we've got to let God be God. Every once in a while, there's something in our lives and we are restrained or limited. And if God chose that, that's what God wanted. You know, maybe God sees how poorly we deal with the past, and He knows it's not best that we see the future because we have our hands full living right in the present. And so, but why? Why does God not let us see the future? Well, I think that's how He wanted it. But secondly, I think He thought if we knew our future burdens, this would affect our present joys. Look, if we knew there was a burden 3 weeks down the road, we might not have enjoyed that piece of pie that we enjoyed this afternoon. Would we be robbed of today's happiness if we knew of tomorrow's suffering? God loves us, and He wanted today's joys to be good for us today. But He knows how the human mind gets out of control. He knew that we would not say, well, I don't have to suffer with that for 3 weeks. I know what's coming. I'm going to go ahead and enjoy the next 2 weeks and 6 days. I'll only suffer on the 21st day. That's not how we are. Matter of fact, there are people in this room. You're suffering today because you are predicting a hurt in your tomorrow. And you don't even know that hurt's coming. And the devil is stealing your today's joy by predicting in your mind a future hurt. So God was pretty smart when He said, I don't think I'm going to let you know all the futures. Why? Well, He wanted to be God and He wanted to be the one to know the future. And He knew that maybe our future burdens would steal our present joys. Not only that, we're supposed to live by faith, not by sight. God planned it that way. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Faith is the foundation of our life. We're to live by faith in God. We were saved by faith, and we are to live by the same kind of faith in which we were saved. This morning, I remembered Brother Roloff. And then this afternoon, I got to thinking about the great champion of the faith named Dr. Lee Robertson. One of the things that Dr. Robertson said, he had some statements, and he just had a way about him. Dr. Robertson would say, have faith in God. And everything he said, he emphasized three times. He'd say, have faith in God. He had two fingers he'd hold just about like that. He'd say, have faith in God. Oh, have faith in God. Brethren, have faith in God. And you know something? We have to have faith in God. Have faith in God. You say, the future scares me. Why doesn't God let me know the future? I think God does not let you know the future because God wants you to live by faith. I think God doesn't let us see all the future because He knew if our future burdens were known, it would rob us of our current joys. And God wanted to be God. God wanted to be in charge of the future. I think this also. I think if we knew God's planned future for us, we might try to tamper with it. We might try to tamper with it. I think we better let God determine what our future would be. You say, Brother Owens, if you could know anything at all about the future, what would you want to know? I'd want to know where I'm supposed to die. You say, why? I'd never go there. I've thought through this thing. Doesn't that make sense? But you know something? If God showed us the future, here, let me explain something to you folks. You mess with your lives all the time and screw it up. If God gave you your future, there'd be some of you messing with it. Well, I don't like that. Well, I don't want it to be that way. Well, I'm going to do everything I can to stop it. Right now, God wants some revival in some of your lives, and you're doing everything you can to stop it. I mean, we have a hard enough time dealing with His will for us right now. If you knew the future, man just has the weakness in mind to think that they would tamper with the future. But not only that, I wonder if God does not allow us to know some parts of the future because tomorrow's fears may rob us of today's victories. Do you know that if something was fearful in your future, you know, fear is a paralyzer. Fear is a paralyzer. Folks, God, I think, does not give us tomorrow's fears, so we're not paralyzed today. And because we're not paralyzed today, we had victories today. You think about this. Peter preached on Pentecost. What a revival meeting Peter had on Pentecost. Y'all remember he preached and 3,000 people got saved? I'm going to tell you something, though. Do you know that in Peter's future, he did not know it. As a result of preaching on Pentecost, he was going to be crucified upside down. Now, let me ask you a question. If I came to you and said, now look, I'm going to let you preach a great revival, but I want you to know, if you preach that great revival, they're going to beat you to death. They're going to drive nails in your hands and your feet, and they're going to crucify you upside down. You don't have to preach a revival. It's up to you. What do you want to do? Would you toss and turn the night before? I think sometimes God does not tell us the future because if we feared the future, it would paralyze victories that God wants us to win in the present. Hey, David, where are you going? I'm going to fight Goliath. Is that right? Oh, yeah, going to fight Goliath. David, I'd like to tell you what's going to happen in years following your fight with Goliath. David, you're going to be hunted and hated for the rest of your life because of that one victory. They'll hate you. The devil will attack you, double dog attack you, because you are going to have the power of God on yourself. The greatest victory story in the Old Testament, but you will pay for it the rest of your life. David, are you sure you want to pick up your sling in the rocks? David might have said, you know, I just think I'll stay home, take care of the sheep. It's not my job to go down there and fight anyway. You know, I wonder, folks, if God told us all the future, that if there were fears in the future, they would cause us to lose the victories of our day. So, Why is this that God might not let you and I know the future? Well, I think it's because God wants to know the future and He's the one that can handle it. I think it's because future burdens might steal our present joys. I think God wanted us to live by faith and not by sight. I think if we knew the future, we might try to tamper with the future. And I think that tomorrow's fears could maybe steal from us or paralyze us so we wouldn't have today's victories. Now, how should we behave since we don't know what's on tomorrow? How could you and I live? Let me tell you how. First of all, learn to trust God. Learn to trust God. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and all thy ways acknowledge Him." Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Folks, listen, trust God. Let me explain one of the best things you could decide in your life. God is good. You ought to settle that and never wonder again. Trust the goodness of God. God's good. If you trust Him, it'll take you away. Hey, look, if you'll trust God, it'll take a lot of pressure off of you. Trust God. Have faith in God. Build today's faith. Obey the Bible. He knows the future. We just need to trust that our God is a good God. So, I don't know the future. How should I behave not knowing all these things? Trust God. Secondly, don't waste today. Don't waste today. The best way to be spiritually strong tomorrow is to be strong today. Way too much plan of spiritual growth tomorrow. You better get it right today. Today. Brother Morgan and I prayed together before the service tonight. And in my prayer, I said this. I said, "Lord, if this is our last church service ever, may it be a great service." We don't know when. We don't know when. And folks, I think if we would stop wasting today, first of all, that makes today a great day. That'll help you to fulfill potential. But wasting today does not make your tomorrow better. That's for sure. It makes your tomorrow worse. So how should we live if we're not sure of the future? Well, trust God. And don't waste today. Serve God today. Win souls today. Forgive someone today. Apologize today. Love today. Get right with God today. Today. We don't know what tomorrow will hold. Someone said this to me. They said, "I need to get to someone who's ill. I don't know how long they're going to live, and there are some apologies that need to be presented." That's very wise. That is very wise. Because once they're gone, you wasted the moment. You should have taken care of it today. We say, "I fear the future." If you fear the future, live now. Do right now, because you have today. Not only that, if you want to live right in regard to this unpredictable future, trust God. Don't waste today. Hey, and make good decisions today. Make good decisions today. Proverbs 27:1 says, "Boast not thyself of the morrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Look, folks, don't waste money today. Don't be too busy for God today. Don't be too busy for your children today. Get right with God today. Make good decisions today. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. There are people in here, you're not right with God financially. You're not right with God about your tithe. You don't tithe. But I promise you, I know the people in this room, they're sincere. And most people say, I'm going to take care of that someday. Well, you don't know you have tomorrow. You may die in debt to God because you were going to put it off. Folks, do right today. Do it today. Get right with God today. Hey, there are people in here that have bad habits, things you know you ought to change. And to be honest, I think if I had a conversation with anybody under the sound of my voice tonight and I said, "Hey, what about this bad thing in your life?" You would say to me, "Preacher, I'm going to get that fixed." I don't think there's anybody here that would say, "I'm not doing it." I'm rebelling against God. I don't believe that. I believe you plan to get it right someday. The only day you have for sure is today. And if you want to know how to deal with the future right, deal with the present right. The only security you can have about your future is what you have, and you don't have a for sure thing in the future. You have a for sure thing today. Today brings security into your tomorrow. Hey, I said this. How should we behave since we don't know the future? Trust God. Don't waste our today. Make good decisions today. Hey, and enjoy today. Men, listen to me for a moment. You men, enjoy your family today. Don't just support. Men, it is your job and your obligation to support your family. It's your job. It's not the government's job to support your family. Men, you got to put up with me. It's not your wife's job to support your family. Scripturally, it's a man's job to support his family. But it's not just your job to support them. You're to love them. You're to enjoy them. And may I say, men, we can get so caught up in supporting that we don't enjoy and we don't love. And we're not, hey, we're meeting their monetary need, but they have emotional needs too. And so, men, enjoy your family. Don't just support it today. You say, why? Well, you don't know what tomorrow holds. You men say, you know, when work slows down, I'll finally take my wife on a date. You may die before you get that chance, partner. It might be a good idea to take her on a date while you're still alive. You'll be much more pleasant to be with. Hey, listen, moms, enjoy your children. Don't just feed them. Don't just clothe them. Enjoy your children today. Because you don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know what tomorrow holds for your child. Enjoy them today. Folks, let me tell you something. Enjoy your church service today. I don't know of anybody that does this much here. You'd have to decide. But you know, if you come to church only out of duty and you don't like it, you got a problem. I want to tell you something. If you can't enjoy our church services, you're going to have a real hard time enjoying services anywhere else. But I'll tell you, you better enjoy them while the Spirit of God is here. While there's a revival-like spirit here, you better enjoy it as you see growth and laughter and you see that Spirit of God working. I've watched God withdraw His hand from churches. And like I mentioned earlier, I've watched churches that went from a revival center to like a funeral home. Hey, enjoy it. Enjoy it now. Enjoy your family now. Enjoy your children now. Enjoy the church services now. Hey, you better enjoy your health now. Now. Why? You might not have it tomorrow. Hey, when you go outside, take a great big old deep breath of air and thank God that you can breathe. When you're walking up the street, you better thank God you can walk. It may be a week from now you'll be in that wheelchair out there. You say, I'm fearful about tomorrow. There's nothing we can do about tomorrow, but there's something we can do today. And the best way to have a good tomorrow is to have a good today. So enjoy your service to God. Don't endure it. I would recommend this. Enjoy eating corn on the cob today. You might not have teeth tomorrow. Look, enjoy America today, folks. She may not be real enjoyable one day. Listen, I'm going to finish with this. There's so many things about the future that we can't know. And there's reasons why God has not allowed us to see the future. And He's smart. He knows what He's doing. So how do we live if we can't see the future? How do we deal with this unpredictable part of life? Well, we trust God and we don't waste today. And we make good decisions now and we enjoy our today. But there are some things we can know about the future. Let me give you a couple of them, and we'll pray, and we'll go home. What about the future? What can we know about the future? Well, I can make you a promise tonight based on Scripture. God is already there. God is already there. That's one reason why you need to learn to trust Him today. If you don't trust Him today, you're not going to trust Him in the future. So you trust Him today, it better prepares you for the future. But one of the great things about God is He's already there. He is already there. In the military, they're going into a hot zone or they're going into the bush. They had a man that would walk all the way up front. You know what they called him? The point man. The point man. Get this. God is your point man. He's your point man. He's out front. He's leading you. He's already been where you're going. He's already there where you're heading. And everything's all right in my Father's house. A man said to me, he said, Brother Owens, he said, I think he's in his mid-60s. He said, boy, I'd really like to be a part of your church. I want to be a part of a revivalistic church before I die. He said, he asked me, he said, Brother Owens, how long are you going to be at your church? I said, I plan to die right here. I said, the next time somebody starts a war with me, it'll be the worst war they've ever fought in their life. They will be so sorry. I've been kind enough. He said, well, just knowing that you'll be there in the future puts me at ease. And I said, let me give you something even better. God will be here. God will be here. It's a good thing to know there's somebody out there in that future that has some strength to help us, but you don't get any more powerful than the great God of the universe. Hey, God is already there. We can know that about the future. What else can we know about the future? We can know that that book is still true and it'll be out in the future. Because the Bible says, "For His word is forever settled in the heavens." It's there. Look, if you're close to God, when you get there, you're going to feel right at home. If you're close to the Word of God, when you get there, you're going to say, hey, it's just like it was back yonder. Days ago, same God, same Bible, same truths. But for some of you, the reason you have no security about out there is you have no security right now. And the same lifestyle you're going to live there to be secure is the lifestyle you need to live now to have security about out there. Hey, His Word's forever settled. We'll have help. What's going to happen in the future? Whatever the Bible says, that's what will happen. Live the Bible today, and you'll have a good jump on what it's going to be like tomorrow. Look, I'm going to tell you something. If you don't like old-time gospel music now, you are going to be miserable in heaven because you will not be able to run to your car, turn on your radio, put your earplugs in, and listen to your rock and roll the minute you get off of the church property. There's no place that you can hide in heaven to listen to your bad music. I'd go ahead and enjoy it now because now is where your future is heading. So God is already there. The Bible will still be true in the future. Now, for the saved, heaven awaits you. That's a wonderful thing about the future for the saved. Folks, the worst that ever happens to a saved person happens in this life. Everything gets better after death for the Christian. Now, if you're not saved, hell awaits you. The best lost man gets is in this life. And it's all downhill after this life for the lost. Heaven is so wonderful. The Bible says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the hearts of man that which God hath prepared for them that love Him. God said, in regard to your future, and after you leave this earth, He said, I can't even describe it. Now, let me explain something. He, who could describe anything, said, I'm kind of lost for words to tell you how good what I created is. It's kind of, I outdid myself. That's what he's saying. See, what's in the future, preacher? I don't know, but it's just so good God couldn't figure out how to tell us. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. So, I was reading about Paul while he was in Rome as a prisoner. He went through and he encouraged the people at Philippi in the Philippian church. Right at the end of the encouragement, he said, I'm trying to figure out what's about to happen to me. Figuring out what's coming to me next. And I thought, boy, Paul, sure encourages me to know that you're the best Christian in the entire New Testament, and you were willing to say, the future's kind of, it's eating at me a little bit. What does the future hold? And then I got to thinking about the future in us, and I thought, maybe tonight, with a nation in turmoil and living in the kinds of days in which we live, it might be good for us to think for a few minutes about how to deal with the future. Why can't we see it? Why does God do what He does? And what do we know about the future? I hope somewhere tucked in this sermon, you can get a little encouragement and maybe grow a little faith. Oh, and stop trying to do God's job. Just trust Him, because everything's all right in my Father's house. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, I want to welcome you to the Savior. If you're not saved, we're going to have an altar call. And when we do, if you need to come to this altar, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Is there anybody here tonight who would say, preacher, I'm not saved. Pray for me. I'm not saved. I need to be saved. Would you pray for me? Will you raise your hand? All right. Saved folks, some of you, maybe you need to work on your faith a little bit more. The future has scared you. Some of you watch way too much news. Some of you listen to way too much negative. It scares you. It is stealing your faith. It's pulling you away from a positive attitude about what Jesus is doing in your life. But let me say, if you need the altar, maybe you need to come and say, Lord, still me, strengthen me about the future. What does the future hold, God? I trust you with it. And in a variety of ways in this auditorium, there are concerns about the future. Some are in their senior years and the future's scary. Some went to the doctor this week and their health and the future of their health is a bit scary. Some have relationships that are going through transition or difficult things and it's scary. Your kids are growing up and it's scary. The workforce, it's changing around you, and you've got your fears about the future. You wonder, what's happening in our country tonight? Let the teaching of the Word of God and your time at this church help you to know God holds your future, and He knows what He's doing. Who here tonight would say, God has spoken to my heart in a special way during this sermon, and God has spoken to me. Would you raise your hand and let God see it, and He'll know that He's touched your heart. You may put those hands down. The pianist is going to begin to play at this time. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? Do you need to come and say, God, strengthen me. God, give me a little more courage maybe in an area of my life. Maybe it's with the economy and you're worried about it, or retirement and you're worried about it, or your health and you're worried about it. You're wondering, what's coming next? What will my family face? What will my kids face? What will my husband face, or my mom, or my dad? What will happen in the right kinds of churches? What kind of persecution will we go through in the future? Well, we don't know all that, but I know what we can do. We can do right today. We can live right today. We can trust God today. We can win souls today. While we have a revivalistic spirit in our church, enjoy it. Enjoy it. I've seen some great churches lose the spirit. I've seen it. Enjoy your kids today. Enjoy your marriage today. Enjoy your health today. We have today. We don't know what tomorrow holds in many aspects. Oh, we know the Bible's there. We know God's there. We know that in the future He'll want of us what He wants now. So we can best prepare for the future by doing what's right now. Paul put it this way, I shall see how it will go with me. He was saying, I'm just going to wait and see what happens with the future, because I'm not real sure what's coming my way. You'd feel that way, too, if you had been in prison for preaching the truth and was facing persecution and death. But I'm just sure that Paul was able to use the scripture that God used him to write to encourage himself. Because he's also the one that said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. One more time through the song and we'll be done and on our way. What's going to happen in America? Well, God's in charge, so He knows what's going to happen, and I trust Him, so it'll all turn out, and it'll be in God's hands.